Today's daf is Shabbos daf Mem Ches. We left off in daf Mem Zayin and Beis. We began Perek Bamet Tomnin. So while Perek Kira dealt with two out of the three major Isurim Drabanan associated with Bishul, we dealt with Shehiyah and we dealt with Achzara. Bamet Tomnin is going to get us primarily into the topic of the third major Isur Drabanan associated with Bishul, and that is of course the Isur of Hatmana. Whenever we talk about Hatmana, we always have to divide into two categories of Hatmana. There's Hatmana B'davar HaMosif Hevel and Hatmana B'davar She'ena Mosif Hevel. Sometimes you insulate a pot just to retain the heat that's already there, and sometimes when you insulate it, you're adding more heat. When it comes to Hatmana B'davar She'ena Mosif Hevel, that's also to do on Shabbos. A person is not allowed to wrap a pot on Shabbos with something that's not Mosif Hevel. When it comes to B'davar HaMosif Hevel, that's even asur to do on Erev Shabbos. So yesterday we saw in the Mishnah gave a list of items that ain tomin behen, that you're not allowed to be tomin with, and this of course is referring to items that are Mosif Hevel, meaning what we mean that b'meh tomin, b'meh ain tomin, that we don't just mean which items can you not be tomin with, you can't be tomin with anything on Shabbos. So that's what the Pnei Yeshua says, the whole parak is talking about Dinei Hatmana on Erev Shabbos. That's always the assumption that we're working with. We're dealing with doing Hatmana on Erev Shabbos. So when the Mishnah gives a list of items that ain't a Tomnin Behen, it means items that are Mosif Hevel, and therefore you're not allowed to be Tomnin Behem even on Erev Shabbos. Now, on the list of items that we said one is not allowed to be Tomnin Behen, we mentioned Chol, that you're not allowed to be Tomnin with sand. Apparently, sand is considered to be Mosif Hevel. Shoshanam Ladav just asks that later. Later on, we have a Gemara in Kufnun Alpha Min Aleph that says Matilin Hameis Alachol Kedei Shelo Yasriach, that one of the things we'll do for a dead body to make sure that he decomposes less quickly is by putting him on the sand, he won't begin to rot, the flesh won't begin to rot. Sounds like the chol, the sand, is Mekarer, that it cools the body, not that it heats the body. Over here, however, we put chol on the list of things that are most of Hevel. So the Ran and the Ritva all point out that what it says in the that there are certain items that will intensify whatever quality it already has. So if it's something that's cold, it will make it colder. If it's something that's hot, it will make it hotter. That's what the Yerushalmi says over here, that the nature of these items is the hosif echus alechuso. It's to add more quality to whatever it's already doing. So if it's cold, it will make it colder. If it's hotter, it will make it hotter. And therefore, chol doesn't have a particular direction. It's whatever direction the item is already headed in. Chol will keep it going in that direction. Now, important tosos we didn't get a chance to look at yesterday on the bottom of the Amud Mem Zayin Beis, but Metomnin Ein Tom Lo Begefes Pirush Harav Rabbeinu Yosef B'Shem Rabbeinu Shmuel Demayri B'Bashil V'Lo Bashil Aval Kedei Rechaisa U'Bashil Sharinan B'Perikama. He says we must be talking about something that's partially cooked, but if we were dealing with something that's either totally raw or fully cooked, that would be mutter. That's how Rabbeinu Yosef says in Rabbeinu Shmuel, that Hatmana is only going to be aser on something that's partially cooked. Ve'ein nir l'Rabbeinu Tam. However, Rabbeinu Tam rejects this. Because Pashtus is our Mishnah talking about a regular Kedera right before Shabbos starts. What's the general status of a regular Kedera right before Shabbos starts? It's that it's already cooked. Plus, unless the Mishnah notes some sort of shift, we have to assume that we're continuing off of the Mishnayis and Kira and we're assuming the same assumptions of Mishnayis and Kira assumed, which is that we're dealing with something that's at least mavushal to Malchut ben Drusai. V'nir l'Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam says in this v'alacha, sheish l'chalek bein hashha'a l'hatmana. There's a big difference between the halachos of Shehiyah and the halachos of Hatmana. Where was it that we said a kedei rechaisa or something that's already cooked, you can violate the isser, it's okay, you don't have to worry about anything? That was by Shehiyah. To leave something on a flame, on an open flame from before Shabbos, if it's already fully cooked, you don't have to worry about Shehiyah. Or if it's already even kamachal ben Drusai, you don't have to worry about Shehiyah according to Chananya. Or if it's Kedera Chaisa, where you have no motivation to want to stoke the coals anyway, because it's not going to be ready for the Friday night meal no matter what you do, and it's going to be ready for the Shabbos day meal no matter what you do, so by Kedera Chaisa, Issa, there's no Issa of Shehiyah. But when it comes to Hatmana, there are no such exceptions to the rule of Hatmana. Devade lahashos mutur k'shu machal bedrusai, shein chitimat mawilo, shay magulahu v'shal be'avira. When it comes to Shehiyah, a little bit of chitim b'kachalim is not going to help once it's already at machal bedrusai. Aval Hatmana sha'osin l'tzorach machar, v'u mutman yeshlach shem yichate, shema'at chitim mawilo litfos chomo. But when it comes to Hatmana, which you're putting away for tomorrow when you want it to stay warm, so there is a chashash of chitoy. You might come to stoke the coals if you're matmin beremetz. If you do atmana, you insulate it with items with coals. The gozul hatman be called over most of evil gzerim shemi yatmin beremetz v'yichata. And just like you're not allowed to be matmin beremetz because we're afraid you're going to stoke the coals, we don't allow hatmana with anything that's most of hevel to the remetz. So that's the halach. It doesn't matter whether the item is fully cooked, partially cooked, not cooked at all. Doesn't make a difference. Hatmana is always going to be asur me'erev Shabbos with a davar hamosif hevel. Says the Gemara, Ibayiluhu. Gefesh shal zesim tanan aval dushum shmin shapir dami o dilma dushum shmin tanan v'kol shkein dezesim. When we say gefes, so what did gefes mean? So Rashi said it meant psolos shal beis habad shal shemen. The leftover psolos, the waste products of an oil press shukanos yachad v'cham ma'od, which is gathered together and is very hot. So what kind of oil? Are we talking about sesame oil or are we talking about olive oil? So that's the shaila. When we say gefes, does it mean shal zesim? But if it were gefes of shumshimin, of a sesame oil press, it wouldn't be such a big deal because it wouldn't be so hot, that would be okay. Or maybe the shumshimin, it's even talking about shumshimin, and therefore obviously the gefes of zesim, which is even hotter, that obviously was going to be a problem. So Tashma Agmar, so let's bring a raya. Dam Rabbi Zer Mishum Chad Debe Rabbi Yanai, that if you have a box that you did atmanu with, that you put some material in, and you put your matmin a kadera inside the box, you're not allowed to put it on top of gefes shalzesim. Shemamina shalzesim tonight. So you see from there that we're talking about shalzesim, that we're not talking about shumshimin. So says Marno, the olamim lachlin in atmana to shumshimin nami aser. If we, when it comes to atmana, to actually use the gefes as the insulating material, so maybe really even if it were sesame, the waste product from the sesame oil, that would be asr as well. Linyan havla, dezesim maski havla, linyan suke havla rather, linyan suke havla, dezesim maski havla, shum shumin lo maski havla. But when we're dealing with just putting a pot on top of some warm material, so then it's only going to be a problem on top of the zesim, because only the zesim emit so much heat that the heat goes up from the zesim themselves. So to put it on top of a gefes of zesim is going to be a problem. But that's not talking about insulating. Insulating is when you completely surround it with the item. Completely surrounding it is going to be usher even with gefes shel shumshimin, not just with gefes shel zesim. Now says Tosfos on the top, mikan yesh lesar laniach gechalim tachas hakadera. So what does it sound like over here? That if you have gefes shel zesim, which are very hot, you're not even allowed to put a pot on top of the gefes shel zesim. So it sounds from here that it would be also to put a pot on top of gechalim, on top of coals, vafilu yiten aleim efer, even if you cover it with a blech, even if you put ashes on it, ein lahatmin kedera aleim sharei gechalim malin hevel lemala, because the coals cause heat to rise up above them, kamo gefes shel zesim, just like a gefes shel zesim does. V'yesh tema, heichanu matmin malkiru shalanu shekorin ashtara, how do we leave things on a blech before Shabbos? Why isn't that a problem of like putting on a gefes shel zesim? V'afal pi shegarf noso, who most of hevel kmo gefes shel zesim? What does garf akatim help for? Garf akatim helps for hachzara, for shehiya, but how does it help over here? How does it help for atmana? It should be just like the gefes shel zesim. So says Tosfos V'amari sheish li tintam l'kayim aminag. Degabe gefes ikal lemecha shema yatmin kula betocha. Now when it comes to gefes, the reason you're not allowed to put something on top of the gefes shel zesim is because there's a legitimate concern that if you put something on top of the gefes shel zesim, you'll ultimately put something inside, you'll insulate inside of the gefa shel zesim. Aval bekiros shelanu lo shayich lemech l'shachi. But there's nothing you could do about your stovetop that would put the food completely insulated inside the coals on your stovetop or the heat on your stovetop. So therefore, it's like a gzera atu hatmana almost. That when it comes to the gefa shel zesim, you're not allowed to put it on top of the heat of the gefa shel zesim, not because there's some sort of isser, or that itself is called hatmana, but because that could resemble hatmana very easily if you're just one step removed from real serious hatmana. But when you put something on a stovetop, you're very far away from hatmana because you can't really insulate it. All you could do is put the food on top of the stove. Va'od yeshos and chafira gadola va'osin ba'binyan levenim savim mikol tzad umilamata umechaminosa heita v'gorfinosa umatminim basakateri. Says also there is a practice that a lot of people have that they build like this structure with walls on the side and on the bottom, and they dig it into the ground and they put the pot of food inside of it, so it's completely enclosed. So isn't that considered hatmana b'davar mosif hevel? Why do people do that? How are people allowed to keep their food warm from before Shabbos by making these types of structures? So it tells us it's very important yisod. V'lo damya l'matmin b'davar mosif hevel t'lo asru ela k'shem matmin u'madbik saviv hakadera dumya d'remetz avol tanur o chafira sheish avir ben adafanos l'kadera ein lesser yosem me'ashah avol pish shakala kadera b'tocha tanur. So it says tells us it's very important yisod. Hatmana is defined as when the davra matmin, the material you're using to insulate, is actually touching the kedera on all sides. If it's not touching the kedera, it's removed, there's airspace between the kedera and the thing that you're being matmin, then it's not going to be a violation of hatmana. So if you want to take a towel, let's say, and drape it over an urn before Shabbos, so if it's draped over an urn in a way where it's not tightly, snugly fitting around the urn, then it would be mutter, because that would not be called hatmana. Hatmana is only when it fits in a way that's snug, that's all the way up against the item that it's insulating. Now, the last psak, they say, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach gave before he passed away, was about crockpots, whether you're allowed to use crockpots on Shabbos. So there are several issues that you have to discuss when it comes to crockpots. One of them is Hachzara, one of them is Shehiya, but I think we may have discussed those a little bit already in the last parak. But the issue relating to us right now is, what about Hatmana? Is using a crockpot, not talking about the kind of crockpot that's just a flat thing and the heating element is only on the bottom and you put the pot on top of it, talking about the insert ones where it's a metal all around and you put the klecheres into the metal insert. So is that a violation of Hatmana? So Rav Shlomo Zalman held yes. Rav Shlomo Zalman held that it is a violation of Hatmana. They say that Rav Shlomo Zalman was crying when he gave that psak because he felt that it would cause hardship to Benos Yisrael, who are trying hard to make a nice Shabbos, and it hurt him that he was creating hardship for people, but he felt that he held that it was Hatmana, and he had to pask him what the halacha was. So why is it Hatmana? Because it fits perfectly in. The pot fits exactly in. So that's what they say, B'Shem Rosh Shlomo Zalman, that if you do something to separate the pot a little bit from the metal, so that would take away the hatmana problem. That, let's say, you stick a tuna can on the bottom of the thing to raise it an inch or two, so then it's not. Then there's an airspace in between the pot and in between the heating element and the insert, and that would solve the hatmana problem. Other poskim say that it's not hatmana for a different reason. Rosh Shlomo Zalman didn't like this, but other poskim suggest that it's not hatmana for an entirely different reason. The Rama writes in Simen Reish Nun Gimel and Sif Aleph that whenever it's Megula Lamala, that if you don't do Atmana all the way around, only if you're Matman all the way around the entire pot, it's going to be considered Atmana. But if it's Megula Lamala, if it's exposed at the top, then it's not called Atmana. And the crock pot, the insert, the metal heating element of the crock pot covers the sides of the pot, but the very top of the pot is not covered by that. There is a cover to the pot, but that's the pot itself. That's the pot cover. The glass cover that covers the pot itself, that's not something that you're being matmin with, that's just part of the pot. So that's how other poskim suggest that it would be mutter based on the idea that it's Megula Lamala. Rosh Shlomo Zalman held that when the Rama says that it has to be entirely insulated, that even if it's rov insulated, that it goes around rov of it, that would be enough to be a violation of Hatmana. So that's just a question of how to read that Rama. Does it mean rov? Chomer doesn't mean Kulo, does it, in order for it to be a problem of Hatmana. But this is the very important Yisod of Tosos, that it's only going to be a problem of Hatmana when it's actually touching the sides of the pot. Okay, Vaitu in the Gemara. Now the Gemara now is going to tell a story about an Eved of the Reish Galusa and two important halachic notes that we're able to learn from the story. So says the Gemara's story. Rabbi and Rabbi Zeru went to the Beir Reish Galusa. Chazilu who avda the anach kuzah de maya apuma de kumkuma. They saw a certain Eved that was putting a pitcher of water on the mouth of a kumkuma, on top of something of a heating element. A hot pot of he was putting a cold pot of water on top of a hot pot of something else. So Nazhe, so he sort of grunted as if to say, "Oy, this is not good what this Eved is doing." So Nazhe Rabba grunted. Amar le Rabbi Zeira, Maishlam Mechem al Gabi Mechem. So Rabbi Zeira says, "Why is this any worse than a Mechem al Gabi Mechem? Mechem al Gabi Mechem is a motiv you're allowed to put a hot pot of water on top of another hot pot, right? Kedera al gabi kedera. That's 100% mutter. So what do you have a problem with him putting the pot on top of the other pot?" Amalei hasmu kume kamokim hacha ludi kamolit. He says, "No, there's a big difference. Over there with a mecham al gabi mecham, he's just retaining the heat that's already there. Over here, he's creating new heat, and when he's creating new heat, that's what's going to be a problem." So that's story number one. That's halachic point number one from the story. If you look at Tosos, Maishlam mimecham al gabi mecham. Tos makes 2 points. First is a technical point. He says, if you look at that brisa that says mechem al gabi mechem is mutter b'sof pirkin, katani behedya v'lo b'shvil sheicham v'lo b'shvil shiu m'shumarin. The brisa says explicitly that it's not permitted to put a mechem al gabi mechem to heat it up, only to retain the heat that's already there. So since it says that in the Braisa explicitly, what's this whole give and take in the Gemara? The Gemara asks the Kasha, "Ay, mechem al gabi mechem is mutter." And the Gemara answers, "No, chiddush, mechem al gabi mechem is only mutter to retain heat." If you just read the end of the Braisa of mechem al gabi mechem, you would have seen that chiddush. What's the whole shakla vitaria? So v'almari, the Braisa lo shmiyele, v'lo mikoch Braisa parachal meis mechal yom shlos mechem al gabi mechem. No, clearly the questioner was not asking from the Braisa. He was asking just based on the practice, based on the fact that people do it. He was saying everyone does mechem al gabi mechem, no one grunts at them, so he wasn't asking from the brisa. And the answer was, like the brisa says, that this chiddush is heter mechem al gabi mechem is only to retain the heat that's already there. So that's a technical point. Then Tosfos asks, wait a second, what exactly is going on over here with this pot, with this heating source that you're putting it on? Tema the hechidami. I don't understand. If the heat gets to the point of Yatzel Ledesbo, so how could anyone have had a Havamina? They are allowed to put cold water on something that will get to the point of Yatzel Ledesbo. That's what we call Bishel. That's Bishel. That's Bishel Daraisa. Kidan Enos and Beitza Batal Mechem, Va'amar and Gilgal Chayv Chatas, Utran Ami Mechem Shapino Leitim Tachotzorin, Vila Havshir. And if, so that's one side. If it's to cook it, so then it's got to be Asr. Vila Havshir, and if it's just to warm it, lukewarm, and where it's not even Yatzel Ledes, Hechi masik to aser. How could the Gemara conclude that it's aser? V'atayim parakiru nosan adam kitun shalayim kineged amadura lo b'shvil sheicham lo b'shvil shetafik tzinasan v'haynu hefsher. We already learned previously that if you're just going to take the chill out, that you just put it in a place near a fire where it's just hot enough to take the chill out, so that's completely permissible. So what's going on over here? So which is it? So as it tells us a few lines later, v'nir l'rashba d'hadu sharin unless he's kitun shalayim kineged amadura haynu barachak min amadura shali olam lo yu. It's not only an issue of how hot you intend for it to get. It's an issue of how hot it potentially is capable of getting. If you put it so close to the fire where it could get to Yatzel Ledesbo, even though you plan on removing it beforehand, that's our case in the Gemara, where we're going to say that it's Aser. Of course you're not cooking it to Yatzel Ledesbo. If you cooked it to Yatzel Ledesbo, that would be Bishel. But the fact that you're removing it before it gets to Yatzel Ledesbo doesn't make it mutter, because you're putting it in a place where it could get to Yatzel Ledesbo had you left it there a little bit longer. When we say that you're allowed to put something near a flame in order to take out the coldness of the food and not to really get it hot, just to make it lukewarm, that's only when it never could have potentially even gotten to Yatza Ledesbo. Okay, so that's the first Maisa. Back in the Gemara, Hadr Chazir to Paris Distodar Apume de Kuba. He then saw that the second thing that this fellow was doing was that he took a cloth and he put it on top of a pitcher of a pot of water. So va'anach natli lave, and then he put the ladle on top of the cloth to rest the ladle down on top of the cloth. So nazhe rabba. So again, rabba grunted. What's this guy doing? Amar le Rabbi Zera, amai. Rabbi Zera said, what's the problem? What did he do wrong? He just put it. Spread a cloth over a pot, what's the big deal? So Amalei hashta chazis. He says, you'll see, just take a look, see what happens now. L'sov chazit kama atzalei. So they watched, and the Evid came, and he started squeezing out the cloth. The cloth got wet from the pot that was underneath it, either from the condensation, from the steam that came up from the pot, or maybe it dipped a little into the pot. Whatever it was, it got wet, and he squeezed it out. He violated schita. Amalei maishna mi parvanka. So he says, well, why is this any different than a beged that they always put on a bottle that we do allow on Shabbos? Amalei hasam lo kapidi lavei. Hacha kapidi lavei. He says, no, there's a big difference. Because by this parvanka, no one cares about it. It's just a rag. So no one's ever going to come to squeeze it out because you don't care to clean off the rag. But this sudar that he put, this turban that he put over the pot is something that he wants to keep clean. It's something that he doesn't want to be soaked. So it's much more likely that he's going to come to squeeze it out. There's an obvious question in this whole story. The Meloa Rome asks, Kashek, even the other rabbi shechatenu, havelei lasiru mitchila shelo yischatenu. What happened? The guy, the rabbi grunts. So Rabbi Zera says, why are you grunting? He says, you'll see, he's about to do an iser. And they sit there watching, and he does an iser. So if Rabbi knew, if Rabbi was able to tell the future that the guy was going to do an iser, shouldn't he have a mitzvah? Shouldn't he have to be lafrusha meisura to stop the guy from doing an iser? How could you just sit there and watch the show as this fellow does an avera? So he says ve'efshar shaya nachri. It could be that he was a guy. This was an Eved. It wasn't a Jew anyway. And that's why he was able to watch him do the Isser. Of course, then that begs the question, what was he grunting about? It was a guy. Let the guy do what he wants to do. Because it was a guy working in the house of the Reish Galusa. So anything that becomes an acceptable practice in the house may spread easily to the Jewish people in the house as well. So he just didn't want this to become an acceptable practice in the house. That's what he was grunting about. But it's not something that he had to stop in the middle because the person happened to have not been a Jew, so he didn't feel that he was required to stop it. So the Ran writes later on in Samach Beis and Beis B'dapei Arif. The Ran asks, "Hechi shari stopping b'Shabbos ba'aluntis? Why? Meaning, what do we see from this Gemara? You're not allowed to do anything that's going to be yavali de schita, that's going to cause you to come to wring something out." So he says, "Why are we allowed to dry off with towels on Shabbos? Dry our hands and face with towels. Why aren't we choshesh that it's going to be asil de schita like the Gemara says over here?" So the Ran says that since kol harochtzin mistapkin, since anyone who washes uses a towel, if you were to aser to use a towel, it would be the equivalent of asering to wash in the first place, and that's something that the Rov HaTzibur is not yachal lamod ba. So that's something that they could not have made a gzera about. The Rabbanan are not going to make a gzera when Rov HaTzibur is not yachal lamod ba. There's a Tosus over here, Maishan bi Pravanka. Tosus says Pirush Rach Damarava. I'm sorry, the next one Hasam Lo Kapid Pirush Rabbeinu Tam Perakam. With the Ksubis. He says, you got to see Tosos and Ksubis Tavav if you want to understand what's going on over here. Why it is that there's a difference between Kapid and Lo Kapid. That is the famous Tosos about Haimus Uchraya Denizyasa. The Tosos and Ksubis discusses all of the important issues relating to Schita. And what emerges from that Tosos is that when you talk about the world of Schita, you have two malachas that you have to discuss. There's the malacha of Dash or Mefarek, of removing an item from something that it's enclosed in, and then there's the malacha of Malabain. There's a Schita is a tolda of one or the other, or perhaps both, of Malabain, of laundering the clothing. So the issue of whether you're makbir on it, not makbir on it, whether this is a beggar Shechita that you'd like to squeeze this stuff out of or not is a Malabein issue. That when is Shechita going to be Asur Mishum Malabein? That's only if squeezing it out is actually going to clean the Beged from which you are squeezing it. But if squeezing it out, because how do you clean something? You get it wet, then you squeeze it out, and you hope the water comes out together with some of the dirt that was in the cloth. So if the squeezing out is going to be something that's going to help you clean the Beged, then it's going to be Asur Mishum Malabein. If it's not going to help you clean the Beged, it's not Asur Mishum Malabein. When it comes to Shechita Mishum Dash, so the Dash is when you're squeezing something out because you want the item that you're squeezing. So if it's Holech Le'ibud, if the item that you're squeezing immediately just gets destroyed, it's Holech Le'ibud, so then it's not Shechita Mishum Dash, Tosfos points out. It's only Shechita Mishum Dash if you're actually using the item that's squeezed out. So the way to avoid Shechita that's on both ends is if the cloth that you're using is not something that's actually being cleaned out. That's what the Tosfos points out. If you don't use water, let's say you're squeezing out Yayin from the cloth, you're squeezing out wine. So it's not malabing because you squeeze out the wine, it's still going to have a giant wine stain on the cloth. And you squeeze it out into the dirt or into somewhere where it gets immediately destroyed, then it wouldn't be dash either. So over here, we're talking Shechita Mishum Malabein, that's why it makes a difference whether you're makpid about it or not makpid about it, meaning what your attitude is toward the cloth itself. Fine. V'lo b'teven. The Mishnah went on to say, v'lo b'teven, that you're not allowed to insulate using tevin, using straw. So let's say you have stuffing that you used to insulate a pot. Is it muktza? Are you allowed to be metaltel such stuffing on Shabbos? Because we're not going on the words v'lo b'tevin, really. We're going on the words v'iter in the Mishnah, v'lo b'mochin b'zman shein lachin, right? We said you're not allowed to use stuffing for atmana when they are moist, the soft, unprocessed material when it's wet. So normally we would use that material to make expensive fabrics. So the Gemara says, okay, let's say you already did atmana with them. Do they lose the status of muktza? What do you think that these fabrics are now worthless to him? That he's not going to use them to make expensive. This stuffing is no longer going to be used to make expensive fabrics just because he needed them momentarily to use it for hatmana. No, he still plans on using it for serious fabrics, for expensive fabrics, and therefore it's still going to be muktzah. It's not going to help the fact that he used it for hatmana. It's not going to take away its muktzah status. Let's bring a raya to this. You're allowed to be tomin with all of these items, but the key is the next one. You're allowed to be tomin with mochin, but ain metaltel osan. We're assuming that it means even if you did do hatmana with them, still they remain muktza. It doesn't take away the muktza status because they're still designated to be used to make expensive fabrics out of them. Says Gemara, imishum ha lo irya. That's not really such a raya. Hachi kamer, because that could be saying as follows. Im lo tamen behen, ein metaltel osan. If you didn't do hatmana with them, then you can't be metaltel them. Meaning it's not telling me that you're allowed to be tamen behem, vein metaltel osan, even after you were tomin behem, vein metaltel osan may mean, and if you didn't do hatmana with them, they're muktza. But if you did do hatmana with them, they're not muktza. Yachi melameimer. Well, what's the chiddush then? Of course, if you didn't do hatmana with them, well, they're designated to be used to make fabrics, and you're allowed to make fabrics such as so good, so that's muktza. So it says, "Mal de tema chazi the mizgay alayhu kamashman." I might have thought that since it's roughly to be used as a seat cushion or something, you might want to use it temporarily to lean on or to sit on, that it wouldn't be muktza kamashmulan. That it is muktza. Rav Chista sharula ahadure udra lebeisadya b'shabata. Rav Chista permitted returning stuffing into a pillow on Shabbos. So Eisvir Rav Chanan bar Chista the Rav Chista. So Rav Chanan bar Chista asked Rav Chista, Matirin beis atzavar b'shabbos avalo poschin. We said that if you have the neck opening of clothing, which is tied closed by a drawstring, so you're allowed to untie it on Shabbos, but if it's sewn shut so that it was never really opened, then you're opening it up for the first time to create the neck hole in your beged. Let's assume like in tzitzis or like the pockets in a suit that are sewn shut. So you're allowed to Matirin beis atzavar b'shabbos shall be, you're not allowed to be poseach, you're not allowed to open up that stitching. Ve'in nosin esamuchin lo l'toch hakar ve'lo l'toch hakesas b'yom tov ve'in tzorach lom b'shabbos. But we happen to mention also, you're not allowed to take the stuffing and put it inside a pillow on Yontif, and certainly not on Shabbos either. So don't you see that it's aser? How can you tell me that you're allowed to put, how can you, Rav Chisda, tell me that you're allowed to put the stuffing back in a pillow? Says Gemara, lo kasha, habachadati habatiki. Difference is whether it's new or old. If it's brand new, so then you're being misakin manat. This is the first time you're ever making anything out of it. That's going to be asr. But if it's old and the stuffing goes in and out or whatever, so that's okay. That's not considered a violation of tikkun mana. Tani na mihachi, einos na samochim, lo l'toch hakar, lo l'toch keses b'yom tov, vein tzorach lomar b'shabbos. We have a brisa that says explicitly like this, that you're not allowed to put stuffing in a pillow on yontif, certainly not on Shabbos, but nashru machzirinos on b'shabbos, vein tzorach lomar b'yom tov. But if it had come undone, then you're allowed to put it back in on Shabbos, and certainly you're allowed to put it back in on Yom Tov as well. So that's the halacha, that once you're not fixing anything in the first place, you're just putting it back in. So then you're allowed to put it back in on both Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Tosos points out over here, Habachadti Habatiki, Omeri, Sheim Natku Chute Asarva, Limanekev Racha, Vyachalach Nisam Balotarech, Shari. Let's say a drawstring comes out of a sweatshirt, let's say, or sweatpants, or something like that. So you're allowed to put it back in on Shabbos. So he says, if it's easy, if the hole is wide and you could stick it right back in without any tircha, then it's mutter. Obavach Yitin Binyan Zeshloye Lacha Shem Yitka, to be inyan Shu Regilus Lutkov Elixir near Da Asur Lahaksir. But he says, if the practice is typically that it gets stuck in a way where you're going to sew it in or you're going to tie it in, so then you're not even allowed to put it in loosely, because then we're concerned that you're going to come to tie it in. So the Magen Avraham says the ritzuos shalanu b'michnasayim u'b'mena'alim. The Magen Avraham says the straps that we have on our pants and on our shoes, where the practice is likshor b'roshan, to tie them at the edges, that's going to be asr. So I don't think we have this practice so much with our shoes, but a lot of people do this with like a sweatshirt string on the sweatshirt, that it shouldn't come through the hole. They'll tie a knot at the end of the hole. So if it comes out, even if it's easy to put back in, which it never is, but even if it were easy to put back in, you would not be allowed to do it on Shabbos, because people typically, Magen Avraham says, people typically tie a knot at the end of it, so that would lechora be a problem. The Rav Zilberstein quotes just once we mentioned Beis HaTzavar, that the neck hole of the clothing. He quotes a story, Chassidus Shemaisa, Rabbi Baruch Mimezhmish, who always wanted to buy a talis katan from Eretz Yisrael. That was always always something he was interested in doing, to have a holy beged that he was going to get from Eretz Yisrael. He finally was able to be masik. He finally got a talis katan from Eretz Yisrael, and he just needed to cut a hole for the neck in the talis katan. He asked one of his talmidim to cut the hole. The Talmud had it folded in half and cut the hole through both sides, and then he opened it up and realized there was two holes because he had it folded in half when he cut the hole. He said, what am I going to do? So he was terrified to go to the Rebbe, so he goes to the Rebbe and he shows him the beggar, and the Rebbe says, this is fantastic. This is exactly what I needed. I needed one hole for my neck, and I needed another hole to see if Baruch would get angry. Rav Baruch didn't get angry. So Baruch Hashem, you were mekayim whatever I needed from this beggar. That's Maisa Stam, he quotes when relating to Beis HaTzavar. But another Maisa that he says relating to the halacha that emerges from this Gemara is from Shnas Tavshin Nun Aleph from Chashukei Chemer on today's daf. It says Shnas Tavshin Nun Aleph Chodesh Shvat Sholchu Oyvenu Me Iraq Skodim Ematanim la Artzenu Hakadosha, that our enemies from Iraq sent were shooting Scud missiles to Artzenu Hakadosha, the aim of a fachad naflu alenu, and we sat there with aim of a fachad in fear. Because they told us, even though it wasn't true, but they told us that these Scud missiles weren't just missiles, but that they had gas in it as well, and that they were going to. We had to sit in a cheder atum, in sealed off rooms, so that to protect us, and with the gas masks and everything. Someone just told me, Rabbi Arya Yudin told me, that he was in 7th grade at the time when this was going on, and his father asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, his father wanted to go to show support for Achenu B'nai Yisrael Be'eretz Yisrael, to be there with them. So he asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, should I go with my family? Is it going to be Sakana? Rav Shlomo Zalman said, Ain Sakana, you should come. And he came, and it's unbelievable. He said it was they would walk Rosh Hashanah Zalman home from shul every morning. The whole time they were there, there were the Americans carrying the gas masks to shul. No one else had the gas masks to shul, or whatever. He said that that it was just an unbelievable experience. But he said that that the shaila was they had to close off the room, so they had to seal off by the door, and they had to seal off by the windows. So you're allowed to do that. So he says Shabbos Mem Chesamid Aleph. Rav Chista Shari La'aduri Udra LeBeisadya B'Shabata. Rav Chista allowed sticking the stuffing back into the pillow. V'dafka ba'atiki mutalach zero. You're allowed to do it on an old one, but not on a new one. So says the Chuvus Maram Rutenberg. What about putting a belt into pants on Shabbos? So he says based on Shabbos Mem Ches that it depends if it's new or old. Why? Because Tosos points out, whenever it's only Asui Elul L'Shah, Tosos and Shabbos Tzadi Dalit, whenever it's something that it's that's only temporary and that you put on and off and on and off, then there's no Isser Binyan. So he says, you see the Yisod from there, that if it's something that was put on before and you take it off and you put it on and you take it off, that it's constantly meant to be sealed and unsealed. So by the windows, he said, that's a problem. You should make sure the windows are all taken care of before Shabbos. But the door, obviously, they would seal and unseal constantly. So he says, based on this idea, that something that you do it on a consistent basis, on and off, that's going to be mutter. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos as well. Okay, right in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Rav, Habaseach b'Sasav b'Shabbos Chayiv Chatos. If a person opens up a neck hole in a beggar on Shabbos, he's Chayiv Chatos. Mask Rav Kahana, Ma Ben Zulu Maguf Aschavis. Why is this any different than the Maguf Aschavis that the Gemara is going to say later on Kuf Mem Vav Amar Aleph, Rashi quotes, that maybe Adam Chavis who matzis as Rosha b'Sayif, Rashi quotes, that the Gemara is going to say you could bring a barrel and chop off the top of it with a sword and then leave it for the birds, but why is that mutter and this aser? Meaning we're saying that you're not allowed to if you open up a beis hatzavar, if you open up the neck hole of the beged, so because you're making it into a kli. Well, when you chop off the top of a barrel, aren't you making the barrel into a kli also? Because now the barrel is open. This obviously is a major discussion when it comes to opening cans and bottles on Shabbos. One of the issues that we have to deal with is it an issue of tikkun kli? Are you making it into a usable kli that it wasn't before? So let's say opening up a can on Shabbos. My son was just asking me about opening up cans of soda on Shabbos. So Pashtus is, of the potential isurim, this is a major one, that it's now a kli that can function to put liquids in and out of the kli, and that would be a serious problem. So why is this any different? Ask the Gemara, why is the Maguf Aschavis not considered to be a problem? So he said, no, a very simple difference. One is Chibur, one is not Chibur, meaning the Magufa is not part of the Chavis itself. When you open it up, you're not cutting off part of the Chavis. It's a separate entity that's on top of the Chavis that you're taking off. It's a lid that you are removing, but it's not part of the item itself. So if you have, let's say, a soda bottle, which has a plastic bottle cap, which is clearly distinct from the bottle itself, so you're not making the soda bottle, so the shaila, are you making the bottle cap? When the ring comes off on the bottom of the bottle cap, you could say that prior to the ring, the little plastic ring at the bottom coming off, it wasn't a usable cap, and now it's a usable cap. Okay, that's a separate issue, but in terms of, are you not, you're certainly not making the bottle is independent of the cap. So that's the chilek, zeh chibur, v'zeh eino chibur. Tosos doesn't like this whole, the reference of Rashi to the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Mem Vav, to the Gemara later on in the Masechta, because he says, what's the answer? Zeh chibur v'zeh eino chibur. He says over there it's also chibur. We're not talking about a bottle cap over there. We're talking about cutting off part of the barrel. He says it's not true. The Metzius that Rashi is describing from that Gemara is not what the Gemara is actually talking about. So Tosos has a different approach to this Gemara. But let's stick with Rashi for now. Ramile Rabbi Yirmi Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Yirmi asked Rabbi Zeira the following stira. Tanan shalol shel kofsin. If you have the stitched items of the stitching of kofsin of launderers, meaning laundry items that shalol shel kofsin means when let's say you give your socks into the dry cleaners, not the dry cleaners, to the cleaners or whatever, to the laundromat. So in order that you shouldn't lose the socks, they'll put some light stitching to stitch them together so that you don't lose one sock, which always happens, right? keychain that's connected together, loosely stitched together keys, held together on a single chain. So the beged shu tafur b'klayim, and a beged that's sewn together with klayim, meaning two pieces of beged of tzemer that you use a string of pishtan to just hold it together in a temporary fashion. Chibur l'tuma ad shchiyaschal lahatir. It's considered to be a chibur l'tuma. They're considered to be a single item when it comes to tuma until they become undone. Alma shelo b'shas melacha nami chibur makes it sound like even when you're not doing anything with them, the fact that they're just stuck together, that's still considered a chibur, even shelo b'shas melacha. Meaning, let's say the laundry guy only needed to stitch the socks together while he's actually laundering it. Once the laundry is done, he doesn't need that stitching anymore, but still, the stitching is still there, and therefore it's considered to be a single unit. Or a minhu baralas kastira, mak l'shasa yad l'kardum, chibur l'tumah b'shas melacha in shelo b'shas melacha lo. If you have a stick being used as a makeshift axe handle, that's only considered part of the same kli that it's connected to the blade of the axe when it's actually in use. But when it's not actually in use, it's not considered part of the axe. So which is it? When you have temporary connections, are those temporary connections considered to be a chibur even when you're not using them, or only when you're using them? So amalei hasam shlo b'shas melacha adamasu lezarko levena etzim hacha shlo b'shas melacha nami nichlei. So he says it depends. When it comes to the axe handle, you would never keep them together when they're not in use. You would just be zorik the handle the bena etzim. So they have no intention, no desire to keep it held together at all. But when it comes to the socks, let's say that you have the chibur of the kovsin of the launderers who hold it together, you would want to keep it together even shelo b'shas melacha, and therefore it's considered a chibur even shelo b'shas melacha. Why do you want to keep it together even shelo b'shas melacha? Let's say it gets dirty again, you drop it in the mud, so you don't want to have to sew it again. You'll just be able to throw it right back into the wash. But by the axe handle, no one would ever keep a makeshift handle on the axe. In Surah they taught this in the name of Rav Chista. And in Pumadisa they taught in the name of Rav Kahana, and some say in the name of Rava. So who's the one that assumes that anything that's mechubar, like this shalal shalkovsin, the stitching of the launderers that we said is considered a chibur? What does it mean it's a chibur l'tama? It means if one sock becomes tame, the other sock also becomes tame. Something tame touches one of them, so they're in it together. They become tame together. So who's the tana that holds that anything that's mechubar harehu kamahu is like its part? It's the same item. Rabbi Meir, that Tana is Rabbi Meir. The Tanan, Beis HaPachu, Beis HaTavlin, Ubeis HaNer Shebekira, Metamin B'Maga, Ve'in Metamin B'Avir, Divra Meir. You have the utensils, there are a variety of utensils that loosely hang from a Kira. So apparently they become Tameh when the oven becomes Tameh through Maga, but not when the oven becomes Tameh through Avir. An oven is a Klicheres, and Klicheres could be Metameh B'Avir. If you have something Tameh just in the airspace of the oven, it's one of the unique elements of a Klicheres, unique characteristics of a Klicheres, it could be Metameh the oven. So these items that hang loosely from the oven, these different kelim that hang loosely from the oven, could become Tameh B'Maga with the rest of the oven, but not Metameh, not Tameh when the oven becomes Tameh B'Avir. That's according to Rabbi Shimon Metar. Rabbi Shimon says they don't become Tameh at all. They're not the oven. And when the oven becomes tummy, the oven is tummy, not these kalim. So you see that it's Rabbi Meir that holds that when something is connected to something else, it's considered a chibur with regard to tumma. But not entirely, not with Tumas Avi, only Tumas Maga. So the Gemara questions that. Bishlam Rabbi Shimon Kusar Valav Kikira Damu. I get Rabbi Shimon's Shita. These Kalim are not considered like part of the Kira. So when the Kira becomes Tameh, these Kalim don't become Tameh. They're considered an independent entity. El Reb Meir, I Kikira Damu Afilu Ba'Avir Nami Litmu. Ilav Kikira Damu Afilu Ba'Maga Nami Lo Litmu. But according to Reb Meir, if it's like a Kira, then even Ba'Avir it should become Tameh. And if these Kalim are not considered part of the Kira, then they should not become Tameh, even when the oven does become Tameh with Maga. So says Mar Liolam, Lav Kikira Damu. Really, these Kalim are not considered part of the Kira. V'Rabbanon Hu D'Gazrubhu. It's a Gzeira Midrabbanon to consider them as if they were part of the Kira. So that's why when the Kira becomes Tameh B'Maga, these Kalim become Tameh as well. Okay, says Gemara, if you're going to make a gzera, though, go all out. Make the gzera properly. If they're going to make a gzera that these kelim should be considered part of the kira, then how come when the kira becomes tameh ba'avir, these kelim don't become tameh? And so Gemara, of the Rabban Hakeira, the Rabban made a hacker that you shouldn't come to burn Truma Kachim. I mean, the Rabbanan didn't want to make it Tamei completely because they were afraid if they make it Tamei, even when the oven becomes Tamei Baviro, that people are going to think that it's Tamei Dal Raisa, and then they're going to come to burn Truma Kachim based on it. But it's really only Tumei Midrabbanan. Tan Rabban Masporish Shal Prakam Vizemel Shal Rehitni Chibur Tumei Veinu Chibur LaHaza'a. The Gemara points out loosely connected items that are like scissors and things of that nature, multi-part scissors, carpentry utensils, are considered to be connected for one kli when it comes to Tumah, but they're not considered to be one kli when it comes to be mitar with the Para Aduma waters, with the sprinkling of the Para Aduma waters. In other words, each part would need to be sprinkled separately in order for it to become Tahar. So Manavshach, frankly, why? Ichi Burhu Afil Azanami. If it's considered to be one kli, so then even for Azad should be one kli and shouldn't need to be sprinkled separately. Ilavchi Burhu Afil Tumanami Lo. And if it's not considered to be one kli, then even for Tumah, it shouldn't be become Tame together. So Amarava Dvar Torah b'shas melacha chibur bein l'tumah bein l'aza v'shelo b'shas melacha einu chibur lo l'tumah v'lo l'aza. On a daraisa level, while you're actually using it, it's considered to be one kli both for tumah and for tara. When you're not using it, it's not considered to be one kli for anything. V'gazer rabbanon al tumah shelo b'shas melacha mishum tumah shebishas melacha v'al haza shebishas melacha mishum haza shelo b'shas melacha. And the rabbanon were machmir in both directions, lest you get confused. So they were gozer that it should be one kli for tumah even shelo b'shas melacha. Because b'shas melacha it's one kli. There should be two kelim for azah, that you should need azah in both parts. Shalom b'shas melacha, because you might come to b'shas melacha, because you might come to do the same. Shalom b'shas melacha. Okay, that's what we'll pick up from the two dots tomorrow. All right.